Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Uh-oh. WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Don't tell me. We're about to go over a huge waterfowl.
Yep.
Sharp rocks at the bottom?
Most likely.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Bring it on.
On WGR.
Booyah!
Sports Radio 550.
Rolling into hour number three of Sports Talk Saturday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, filling in for Nate Geary once again. Derek Kramer, as always, behind the board, running things here. And joining me on the Wester Hotline is a guy I've gotten to know over the past couple of years with run-ins, whether it's in Buffalo or in Rochester, as we've done a couple of times. Greg Vorce from Spectrum News Sports joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Greg, thanks again for taking the time on this Saturday to join me here and talk a little bit about some hockey here, and hope you're doing well in these times.
I am doing about as well as you could with everything going on in our country right now.
So right.
Appreciate you putting me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. No problem, Greg. So obviously let's start with the Sabres and some of the thoughts from the comments that were made this past week with Jason Bottrell, Ralph Kruger, Jack Eichel, Rasmus Ristolainen. I guess the thing that we've been kind of, our main sticking point today is just the belief and trust in Ralph Kruger and Jason Bottrell with their jobs. Obviously, when Kruger spoke, he was very much of a leader in the way that he was speaking. It kind of sounded inspirational. It seemed like, yes, well, you know, the pain and frustration that we're feeling, we need to take that and twist it into a positive direction. Well, with Jason Bottrell, none of the comments really hit hard at all. So I guess I'll just ask you this way here, Greg. Do you still have the trust in Jason Bottrell and or Ralph Kruger to be able to turn things around and get back into the playoffs here?
I am unfortunately in a position that I feel like I've been in for the last 7 years where I don't trust the leadership of this team. When you look back and you look at what they've done going back 7 years, that obviously be GMTM, what have they done to make us trust them? Outside of the obvious draft picks, the Eichels, the Dahlins, they haven't done anything to make us feel like we should trust them. Victor Olofsson's the only thing you can point to outside of the obvious picks. And then you look back and Jason Bottrell set unfortunate precedents with how bad you can lose a trade, trading Ryan O'Reilly, and you get rid of Housley already after a couple seasons, so your coaching hire didn't work. You're 25th in the league again after a second coach, so it's like, what is there for me to bite into? If I'm a Sabres fan, what am I biting into except for Jack Eichel is awesome and Rasmus Dahlin is probably going to be awesome?
Yeah, it's hard to believe there. Just and also with some of the moves. I mean, the thing that kind of throws me back here too with Jason Bottrell is just how, you know, he says there was disappointment in this season, but yet he keeps bringing up these very minuscule points. We were talking about this with Brian Koziel earlier in the show, but it seems like that all the points that were brought up were just very minuscule. Oh, hey, remember when we won those 10 games back the year before and we won 3 of 4 this time and we had a nice little stretch here or a nice little stretch here of 5 or 6 games? It just seems to me that those are not really anything that anyone really wants to hear from your general manager. And I just don't know if that's what we should be hearing from a GM who's been here. He's going to get his fourth year. And I understand that maybe that continuity should be kind of the mindset here as you're trying to still develop a culture on this team, especially with Ralph Cougar coming in. But it certainly doesn't seem like that the messages that Jason Botchwell were ringing or were any ringing endorsements for his job or anything with this team.
Well, let me play spin doctor for a second. What if we don't have that 10-game winning streak 2 years ago?
Right.
And they lose some of those one-goal games. You go back and look, and I believe 7 or 8 of those were one-goal games. What if you go 500 in those? How bad is it looking then? They started out getting 17 of 20 points this season and still ended up 25th. So, oh my goodness, if you don't have those two things to hang your hat on, how bad is this team? We're talking historically awful over 2 years if you take away those two things he can hang his hat on. You also look at it, yeah, you had those two milestones, if you will, to put your hat on, but you also had 5 losing streaks of 5 games or more. So, and that was a theme. You were on all the Zoom calls. That was a theme, was consistency, is finding something that gets you out of it. And Kyle Oposo really hammered it home, talking about how they just need to learn to win.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you don't learn to win without winning.
Yeah, and in looking back at Kyle Oposo, he almost, to me, it seemed like that the way he talked almost is very not uplifting, I'd say, but very, very much sort of like that same kind of tone, like with Ralph Cougar. Obviously, Oposo's disappointed, and it's not just him. I think every player that we spoke to this week, they showed their frustration or disappointment one way or another. But certainly, it seemed like Oposo definitely has the right mindset, though, when it comes to a guy like Ralph Cougar, too, where, you know, a lot of these guys, they gave their ringing endorsements of Ralph Cougar. And it seems like to me, at least this is my perspective, is that with this year, under the first year of Ralph Cougar, it almost seemed to me in a way that this was kind of what we were expecting from the Bills in their first season under McDermott and Bean. Now, I know that's a different circumstance, but it was almost like, okay, let's get in here, let's get the message across, and let's actually, you know, set what our standards are for our culture that we want to establish. And obviously, we don't expect to be a great team. Maybe we get into the playoffs or whatnot, but, you know, what we do with this first year is and move into the second year, that's more important. I don't know if you feel the exact same way, Greg, but that's kind of how I feel with this whole situation. It's not quite the same situation with the Bills in their first year, and I know they made the playoffs, but it certainly kind of feels that way, especially with the way that we heard from Kruger and some of the other players.
Well, that's it right there, is the other players. Any of the guys we spoke to really spoke highly of Ralph Kruger. And if you're going to get buy-in, if you're going to get that, you know, hashtag trust the process out of your guys, they have to believe in what you're selling them. You know, the best salesmen in the world have to believe in what they are selling you on. And that's the biggest thing, is every guy, starting with your captain, Jack Eichel, and the way he spoke of Kruger, they believe what he is selling. They truly want to win for him. And if you go back and listen to some of the sound bites we've gotten from the guys at locker cleanout in past years, a lot of what was being told to them from Bielsma to Housley was falling on deaf ears. And that's not the case right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Kruger's the guy or not, we obviously still don't know. But when it comes to that culture, that buying in, he definitely has the roster on his side.
Greg Voris from Spectrum News Sports joining us here on the West Her Hotline, part of the conference calls with all the players, with, of course, Jason Botchwell and Ralph Cougar this week, as was I there. What else stood out to you about these press conferences on a player standpoint? I know that there were some other really strong points that were brought across, but I don't know if you want to bring up just a generalization or any comment in particular. I do want to ask about Rasmus Ristolainen in just a moment, but anything else that really stood out to you from this week of comments?
I think the two biggest things kind of center around Jack Eichel. When my coworker John Scott asked him the question that kind of got everybody, you know, heated on Twitter, when he said he sped up, you heard Jack's voice change to that next tier of, I'm mad. Like, I'm mad that I've been here for 5 seasons and I have nothing to show you for it. I have nothing but hollow stats to show you for it. And that sounds like a guy who's really, even again, ready to go past that point per game pace and be a 100-point player and be that guy that says, gentlemen, get on my shoulders. Let's go. And he does that. And then sticking with Jack, everyone, whether we brought it up as the media or not, talking about watching The Last Dance, which did amazing ratings. So I know most of your listeners right now also watch that documentary on Jordan and the Bulls, and saying, Jack's not Jordan. They're not saying he's that dude. Nobody is. Jordan might be the goat of all goats, but that there's that those pieces in Jack, the leadership pieces, the win at all costs, the cutthroat, I'm going to do this leadership from Jack. And we see it as the media sometimes in the room with how mad Jack gets and when he yells at teammates out on the ice. And that's what fans might not see. Because there's one thing with Jack Eichel, I can promise you, there's no one that comes to the arena in a Sabres jersey that cares more than Jack Eichel does, from a dad with his kids to a grandpa that's been a season ticket holder from day one. No one in that building cares more than Jack.
Now, on to Ristolainen, the thing that I wanted to ask you with Ristolainen, obviously in his comments, he was very adamant about, you know, I don't know if I've ever been a part of a winning culture and, you know, hey, things are probably going to change this year and I'm probably the first one to go. Do you think that especially in these times right now, if there was no factor like the coronavirus pandemic affecting anything this offseason, I think it would be fair to say, all right, Rasmus Ristolainen, you'd probably put a high percentage that he's out the door. But what are your feelings with Ristolainen? Do you think that they are going to look to continue to move him again this offseason? Or do you think that with circumstances like this, that might be much more difficult and that he might be on the roster next year?
I think it's so hard to talk about what, you know, the coronavirus has done to any kind of negotiations. Obviously, stuff's possible. We just talked to 10 people via Zoom, and you could easily Zoom another GM, and it wouldn't hinder you in that way. But Risto talks like a guy who I would assume behind closed doors is asking to be shipped away. We heard the reports, and he validated the reports last year that he wanted to be shipped away, and then he played this entire season. I just have to wonder, if you're Jason Botchell, what do those offers look like at this point? What is his value? Because he's starting to become a guy that, in my opinion, his own team might have a higher value with him than anything they might be able to get back from the rest of the league. So it's one of those, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But his value to you, you know, might be bigger than his value of what you're getting back. But the way he speaks and how candid and open he is about not wanting to be on a losing roster and a losing culture anymore, I mean, you have to be shopping him.
Yeah. So what's the one thing that this offseason that you think, if there's one thing the Sabres could do this offseason to immediately improve themselves, what do you think that has to do? Is it the obvious where it's get that second line center behind Jack Eichel, or what's your thought process with that?
Oh, my goodness. I got so many.
Right?
I think you hit it. The one thing is scoring. I mean, you know, I did some fun numbers about three quarters of the way through the season that was actually played, and Eichel, only Draisaitl had more percentage of his team's points out of any player in the entire league. And Eichel and Draisaitl were the only ones that were over 15 or 16% of their entire team's total points. And obviously Jack can't get assists on his own goals, but out of the entire team's total points, they were the only two over like 15 or 16% of that. So get Jack some help. You know, give him someone behind him with that fire. And I truly think Cousins might be that long-term, you know, guy that can help Jack behind him. But I like the glow line as that fourth line, that dirty, nitty-gritty line. And you obviously like your first line. But everything in the middle is, I mean, just up for grabs. And how do you have a successful team when you can only look at it and go, okay, we have a good number one line with Jack Eichel, a transcendent player, and we have our nitty-gritty go against the other team's number one line and push them, but nothing else we can really know day in and day out is going to work. So I hate to use the canned answer, but scoring in depth is what you have to find.
Right. And real quick, Greg, just want to get a quick thought from you on the football offseason for the Bills and kind of what you think is to come for the Bills this season, despite all these things that are going on in this world, and just your thoughts overall on what's been done this offseason.
Everything we said negative about the Sabres, just flip and make it a positive about the Bills. They are, continuity is perfect. from Bean to McDermott to Josh Allen to the guys around him. They go and get Diggs addressing their number one issue. They draft their number two running back. They get depth at wide receiver. They get depth at the edge. They sign guys on. I mean, they're hitting it. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are wizards over there with what they've done in these three seasons, two playoffs after their own, you know, missing the playoffs. For me, Brayton, it's win the AFC East or bust for those guys. And honestly, and you know, fans can call me a homer if they want. Your fans are going to love hearing it. I think they're the third best team in the AFC behind the Ravens and Chiefs, mm-hmm. not in that order, Chiefs 1, Ravens 2. I don't see why they're not playing, you know, in that Final Four, you know, weekend and maybe, you know, in a fight for an upset and seeing what can happen. Because as we know, Josh Allen does what Josh Allen can do. He can win many games, and he can also, unfortunately, lose some games too. But I love what they're doing at One Bills Draft.
Absolutely. Well, Greg, thanks again for taking some time with me this weekend to join me. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Hope you and your family stay safe, and enjoy a scotch for me. Well, why don't you?
I'll put a scotch thought out there just for you.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Greg. Greg Vorse from Spectrum News Sports joining me here on the Wester Hotline. And thanks again to Greg. Also, thanks again to Mike Zeisberger. And also, thanks to Brian Koziel for joining me earlier on today in the show. We're going to break early, and here's why. Because I want to get the chance to play some of Ralph Krueger's press conference for you from yesterday. He had a lot to say. We've cut it down as best as we can, and we'll get that to you next. So stick around. Hear more from Ralph Krueger coming up on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you. Hope you're enjoying this wonderful Saturday afternoon. Now we're going to get to you here a little bit of Ralph Krueger's end-of-season press conference from yesterday. Spoke well over 45 minutes, but we've condensed this down as best as we could to give you plenty of information and plenty of what he had to say. And when I mean plenty, he had plenty to say. So here is a little bit of Ralph Krueger's end-of-season press conference from yesterday on WGR.
How do you plan to carry over that message and the motivation? And we heard Jack Eichel say he's fed up yesterday. How can you carry that pain and the bond that this team built yesterday, built over the course of the season, knowing that you're going into an extended break? And what are the pitfalls of not being able to carry over that? And how do you emphasize what this team's learned?
So that's a good question, John. And yeah, thank you. My family is safe and healthy here. But how do we continue? Well, I have to say we jumped right into the communication with the players off the hop. And we've had multiple contacts with them, also using the vehicle of Zoom. And our high performance team was managing the physical side of things until we had clarity. The focus needed to be on re-entering and still playing. And so it's been, you know, driven that direction. But already this week, we've begun to have contacts with players. And we need to stay connected. Like, you know, our motto from the start was play connected. And it means we need to play connected here. However long this break is, we need it to work for us, and we need to use it as an opportunity. It's our only choice. We can't complain. It's a waste of energy. We can't feel sorry for ourselves for not being in a potential hypothetical playoff. But again, we were responsible for that, and now we need to be responsible for this time that we have. And how do we do it? Is just staying strong in our communication. We right through the season communicated very strongly with the players, and we're continuing to do that here in the summer. We're doing group meetings. We're doing group chats with them. We're doing one-on-one chats. We're not trying to suffocate them, but we are staying, in a high-quality way connected to the players, and we're going to stay on them. We're going to set measurable targets. And what I feel right now out of my heart is that this group, when they get to play again together, is going to be extremely hungry to work towards that next level. I really have that impression after 11 weeks of interaction with them.
Hey, Ralph, good to see you again. Matt Bove from Channel 7 here. Yesterday and the day before, we talked to so many of your players, and they all brought up your leadership ability and what you brought to that locker room. For you to build this team into a winner, do you need to have that relationship with the players? Is this part of the goal, is to get as connected, as you said, as possible, and then eventually the success on the ice will happen?
Well, you know, it's not something that I do strategically. It's what I do as a leader naturally, and I enjoy so much, the good and the bad. I enjoy the dialogue with you all. I enjoy it with the players. I like to be challenged by you. I like to be challenged by the players. And so what we have here is, a situation where we need to, we need to continue to grow out of those challenges with each other. And we need to grow out of the frustrations that we've had in the past. And I think that working together here as a group moving forward is going to be extremely exciting when I look at how honest the players communicate with us, Matt, I lost you just on the last part of your question there.
Yeah, and then Ralph, I just kind of said, does this leadership style, is this something that needs to happen for the success on the ice to follow? Because, we saw that at times this year, and then ultimately, the slip happened and the West Coast road trip and everything. But does that leadership eventually equate to success on the ice?
Well, I think that's, thank you, sorry about that, Matt, but quite clearly, I believe that leadership needs to drive two main components into a team, and the number one level of respect that we need to have within each other is based on, creating a positive environment, and a leader drives that. If I'm expecting a positive, constructive, solution-focused environment from the players, yet I am beating on them and dragging them down and not living that way, it doesn't work. So I just believe that I need to be part of that process and an example in that process. And the other side is, of course, the discipline that we need. And I want to tell you right now, as a leader, I am so excited about the sacrifice and the work ethic that we've brought into this group. There was a lot of it naturally, but it's coming in the whole. And, as a leader, those need to be the driving factors, that you create an environment where everybody respects each other so we can trust each other to communicate openly. And the other is to create an environment where everybody tries to improve every day and works extremely hard in the moment on what they can control. And I need to do that as a leader, as I expect that from the players. And I feel on both those counts, we are evolving in the right direction.
Hi, Ralph. Wonderful to see you. To kind of tag up on Matt's question, what does it mean to you to have the players almost unprompted speak up for you and to say how happy they were with you? And even Jack going as far as to say that you're the most natural born leader he's ever met.
Well, it's always wonderful to feel that openness, because usually players aren't that open in their communication. I have to tell you, on multiple levels, I 1 year ago, I did not know the city of Buffalo. I did not know the ownership of Buffalo. I didn't know what the coaching job was going to be like in Buffalo. I certainly didn't know the players or the staff in Buffalo, and I didn't know the fan base. And one thing I can tell you, one you're in is we live in the heart of Buffalo, and my wife and I really enjoy the city, number one. Number two, the ownership, the management team, these are good people. They are wonderful to spend time with. They challenge you in a healthy way and support you in a necessary way. And I enjoy that. And, you know, the team, my God, it's been such a joy to work with these guys. And it's just been easy because they are ready for this type of environment, and their natural, you know, their natural instincts are able to flow here. And so I like the people I'm working with, my staff, the coaches, and above all, I truly love the Sabres and I love our fan base. And I know there's pain out there and I know there's anger, but I feel so many positives after 1 year experience. And, the most important thing is who do I work with as a coach every day? And that's the players. And I'm happy to hear they're on board because the expectations are only going to go up for us as we grow. And when you get those kind of compliments, that's a high bar to jump over and over again. And as a coach, I look forward to trying to do my best to do that again.
Hi, Ralph. I'm sure you heard Jack Eichel's comments yesterday. Had he relayed that to you before? I mean, what do you think of those comments? Do you understand his frustrations?
Yeah, hi, Bill. I mean, it's across the board, we are frustrated. I mean, we are not where we want to be. And that's what I mentioned on my very first, answer to Lance's question was that, you know, we're on two different sides here. We're emotionally angry and frustrated because we all know that more than halfway into the season, we were expecting to be a playoff team and we slipped out of that. And, the targets kept changing. And we needed to win two of three. Then we needed to win three of four. Then we needed to win four of five. And suddenly we were out of the race. And so that there's pain and anger, and that Jack's at the lead of that, that's a really good sign, and it's very healthy. And it also shows that our core has a youth that is they're willing to reach for higher standards. They're willing to reach. And now we need to do the work that backs that up. Because all this talk, I can tell you anything right now about the past. It's not really important what I say about the past. It's the actions that we now take that are going to matter. And when we get the opportunity to come together a group, we have to give those actions to the fans. We have to show them on the ice. But on that way now, each individual is going to carry a big responsibility. So if we're going to complain and be angry about the past, we need to work extremely hard right now, because the only people that are going to change it is us. We have the opportunity to change it, and only we can do that. And it will not come easy to get the momentum and the positive feeling in Buffalo that we're all searching for will not be given to us. And it's going to be a tough grind coming up here. And I know the players know that, but I like the anger. I have no problem with people outing frustration on the past, but then let's move that conversation forward real quick and let's figure out what we're going to do about it. And that's going to be our job now, no matter how long the break is.
Hey, Ralph, Heather Pruzek here from the CBS station here in Buffalo. You know, speaking of that frustration and some of the players' comments, I want to ask you about some of the things that Rasmus Ristolainen said yesterday. He mentioned that, you know, if changes happen, he thinks that he would be probably one of the first guys to be traded. Do you see him as one of, you know, your core guys? And, you know, just what do you make of those comments that he said?
Well, what I love about Risto is he doesn't hold back on anything. He tells you the truth all the time. So I've really enjoyed working with him this year. You know, when I began, you know, coaching him and I was the leader of that room, he was somebody that wanted to be traded. And now he has embraced our path and he was all in on our pathway this year. And he attempted, you know, to compete at a high level right through. So he's the centerpiece of what we're doing here. And, you know, the National Hockey League is a world of moving pieces. I want to coach Risto next season. I would enjoy coaching Risto next season. So that's probably all I need to say to you. And that Risto always comes with a little bit of bite is what we love about him. And I'm expecting to see him as a centerpiece and a core player in our group next year.
Hey, Ralph, great to see you again. Rasmus Ristolainen also talked about, even before he got in the NHL, he doesn't know what a winning culture is. He said in Finland, coaches got fired every year, GMs got fired every year. He goes, I've never been part of one. I don't know what a winning culture is. And you, as you move forward now, you've got some guys who have done nothing but lose. I mean, Rasmus talked about 7 years of losing. Jack talked about 5 years of losing. Sam, 6 years of losing. You can throw Gergensen's in there. You can throw Larson in there. I mean, they've done nothing but losing in their professional careers. So as you move forward and you want to change that culture, you're trying to change a culture of guys who don't know anything different other than what losing is. So how do you move forward with that?
Well, for me, a winning culture is a culture that reaches its potential. So that's the measuring stick for me as a leader, is I, as a coach, need to know at the end of a season that I've pushed a group towards its potential. And each player should demand that of himself. And if we do reach our potential, then we're part of a winning culture. Now, in the National Hockey League, there's one measuring stick, and that's the playoffs. The playoffs, everybody above that line is a winner. Everybody below that line is a loser. It's the reality, and we accept that. And that's what the players are speaking about. But they also have done a lot of winning, you know, especially those two players you just mentioned, Jack and Risto. You know, the work they put in, 365, 24/7, those are athletes, and they're just a couple of the many examples in our team that have helped to take hockey to a whole new level. When I coached this game before I came to the Sabres, it was at a different pace, and it was at a different physicality, and it was at a different technical level. The game has improved so dramatically in the last decade, and it's why it's so beautiful to be a part of this game. And they've worked hard to do that. So they are winners insofar as they're in the National Hockey League. They're at the highest level. But the group that they've been a part of hasn't found the potential above that line, above the playoff line. And that's what we need to find. I see those guys both as winners because of how they compete. I see them both as winners because they care. And I'm just watching what those two guys did the last 11 weeks. They've all purchased fitness equipment. They've all built multiple gyms that they could open to the public just to be ready in case we were playing again. Those aren't losers to me. Those are winners. And what we need to do is get all of those dots connected, all the players, the management, the coaches, the organization, and we need to get it above the line. And that's the challenge. And then we will hit that definition, because there's a lot of different definitions of winners. We all know that. And, you know, for me, that is really important to separate the fact that individuals might be doing what they're needing to do, but the group as a whole hasn't gotten there yet. And that's where we need to go.
Hey, Ralph, John Scott from Spectrum News. Thanks for doing this. Jack Eichel was incredibly complimentary of you and gave you a lot of credit, calling you one of the best natural-born leaders he's ever been around. Can you just describe to us the relationship you guys developed, how it evolved over the season, and how important it is to have such a strong connection with a player of his level and the captain of the team?
Well, Jack's just, you know, wonderful to coach because he just wants to get better every single day in whatever the role is, whatever the responsibility, on the ice, off the ice, you know, everywhere he wants to evolve. So that's a lot of fun to be a leader of a person like that. And our relationship is one of quality, not quantity. We don't need to speak hundreds of words. Often it was just eye contact on the bench in the third period, and there was a connection. And I was leading, and he was taking his responsibility without even saying a word. And, you know, we would sometimes, you know, run into each other in the hallway, and it would be 5-6 sentences were enough to get the whole group refocused on the task at hand because we'd had a horrible game the night before. So, you know, I think more than anything, we have a natural relationship. Nothing is forced. Everything just comes easy. Since we met in Slovakia over a year ago, the conversations are predominantly focused on improving the Sabres and doing what we can do in our roles to get this team into the playoffs and to, you know, turn this into a winning organization over more years in a row. And you know, I'm very pleased that he has the, you know, the openness to bring that out in the public. Feelings are mutual, and it's extremely exciting to feel, you know, his hunger right at this very moment to use the break, to use this also as an opportunity for us to improve as a team. And, you know, we'll continue to do that together.
More of Ralph Kruger's press conference from yesterday, his end of season press conference, coming up next on WGR. Hi, everyone. Welcome back into Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Now, more of Ralph Kruger's end-of-season press conference on WGR.
This is Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com. Thank you for doing this, and glad to hear you and your family are doing well. As you move forward, you know, people talk about a losing culture. I mean, Jack and Risto talked about it or touched on it a little bit yesterday. They haven't made the playoffs. Obviously, this is history. The team hasn't made the playoffs in 9 years. You found yourself, and obviously there's no salary cap, but in a similar situation when you went to Southampton. How, you know, it's easy to say like winning solves all that, but when you are in a place where there is a perception of a losing culture, what lessons did you take from Southampton to get away from the shackles of that kind of stigma?
Yeah, the most important thing is of course what you said in that statement is critical, and that's that nothing ever replaces winning in sports. That is for sure a given. But I believe when you lead in roles in an organization, your focus needs to be on an excellence in everything that we can control, and take that responsibility to heart and make sure you surround yourself with people that buy into that and trust that that will then take you to the winning that all the fans and the outside world judges you on. Because we are judged on that superficial number of the outside, whereas the internal, the true, you know, the abstract of what is actually the potential of a player, what is the potential of a team, doesn't have a definite number. The definite number is the points we got in the standings this year and that we ended up in 25th. That's definite, and it's unacceptable, and we have to take that. But what I did was take the focus away from anything other than being excellent in the moment and trusting that that builds into the wins that we all so desire. And it's what we're doing in Buffalo right now. We're, you know, we can look in three different directions. That's what happened in Southampton. It's what's happened in when I went to the Swiss national team or I came to Buffalo. You can look in three different directions. You can look to the past, which we definitely need to do because we learn from the past. We need to move ourselves forward quickly. So like within a game, I will judge every shift of every player as I'm watching it. And then I need to move into the next shifts, and he will play or he won't play, or he'll play more or maybe power play or penalty kill. So you react to that. And after a game, you do that. And after a season, you have to do that. You have to look back. You have to look things in the eye that you didn't like that you can improve on. But as quickly as possible in each of those environments, wherever I was, you got to get people back into actions in the moment, learning from that past, and then we have to go forward. And forward together and keep reaching towards the goals and believing in the dreams that we all have, which are big with the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, I think that for me personally, as an example, number one thing here is I take responsibility for where we finished. And the first thing that has to happen, what do I control? Number one, I control myself. I've got to be better. I've got to be better as a coach. I've got to be better as a leader. That's where it starts. And then I have to drive that into the people around me. I have to drive it into the staff, into our high performance staff, into our players. And that's how we will build a winning culture for all, no matter how you judge it, whether it's internally, our potential, or in the standings. But it's not easy. I've already said it. And, you know, I'm excited about working to get better and growing in what I knew was going to be a difficult challenge. And the history of my time is 1 year now. That's the history I have. But I know so much more than I did a year ago. I have so much more information. And now we need to use it.
Hey, Ralph. Mike Catalano in Rochester. Thanks for doing this. Following what you just said, you come in, and there's not very much patience in sports these days, but you talk about building, right? You're a brand new coach, yet you took over in an organization that's almost a decade without the playoffs. So how do you personally guard against trying to build and knowing this is a fan base that's waited almost a decade to get back in the playoffs and not lose sight of what it takes to actually build? But on the other hand, you got to win. You have those two masters going at the same time.
Yeah, I need to make sure we keep it simple and we keep that picture small when we come back together. It's time now to open up the viewfinder. We have opened up that viewfinder with the players. I mentioned to you that the physical side has already been addressed, and all the players bought into that through Instagram, through Zoom, through all kinds of platforms. We've been building an unbelievable physical base with the guys over the last 11 weeks. And, you know, Joe Collins at the head of our high performance, Ed Gannon, JT Allaire, they're, you know, with the fitness, have been in contact. So physically, we're evolving, and now we're going to regroup. We have clarity. We know it's the off season, and we might have a 2-month extension on the regular off season. So let's, you know, we've kind of said that April maybe becomes June, and away we go on our off season, and we need to use that off season. But then there's the skill side. You know, there's a lot of things we've identified, and the coaches have had meetings weekly on Zoom, and we have taken a deep dive into each individual player, his skill set, the technical, you know, strengths and weaknesses that he has and what he can do to develop. So we're looking at that. And, you know, tactically, we haven't spent that much time on the overall riding tactics. We were expecting to play games again this season. We didn't want to make any major adjustments. We're going to start looking at that now. And finally, it's the mental side of the group. We need to get better. You know, we seemed to fatigue at times during the season and lose our focus on the game that we all knew we needed to play. The players have said it. They've embraced it. They've tried so hard, but here and there we lost our way. And when we lost our way, we had confirmation what the actual way needed to be. We got back to it, but we lost our way twice for 6 losses in a row this year, and it killed us. It killed our season. It killed everything we worked for, everything we wanted to do. All our dreams were destroyed in 2 phases where I believe we actually mentally lost our way and not physically or strategically or individually, you know. And I think that that's going to be an area that we're going to work on to improve. And I need to find better ways to tap into that through an 82-game schedule, which you jokingly already have said that I might never get. I just keep coaching short seasons, but the next one may be 82 games. But those are some thoughts, Mike, to what you were saying, how we can actually, you know, work now through this phase. But above all, let's keep that picture nice and small. What can we control? And just like our system on the ice, we like to keep things simple, because if we start letting all of the outside noise come into our decision-making, it'll take us off track. And above all, you need to be strong and resilient and show your team is connected when we're getting difficult challenges thrown at us from the outside. It's okay. It's good. Everybody has that right, but we need to stay strong and on course. And like you can hear in my language, we have a lot of work to do in the off season. We have a lot of work to do whenever our next training camp comes, and we have a lot of work to do to get to that next level, but we will get there.
Hello again, Ralph. Have you made a decision on whether your entire coaching staff will return next season?
You know, the coaching staff, under these circumstances, there's a lot of power and continuity, because we've all had, you know, I mean, who would have thought 11 weeks ago that we'd be having a press conference of this nature at this time? And, you know, it's been, there's so much change and so many distractions right now that I believe continuity is important and actually will strengthen us. And this coaching staff, you know, really did a good job of helping to build the culture on and off the ice that we need. And I'm excited to work with them going forward.
Hi, Ralph. John Warrow once again. I wanted to draw upon your global experience and your experience in other sports and try to get your perspective, having seen what's happened to the entire sports landscape. You know, and I'm not minimizing at all the deaths and the tragedies that have occurred, but from a sports perspective and seeing what's happened to that landscape, how do you think sports, perhaps even specifically the NHL, comes out of this at the other end financially, from a fan perspective? Just how do you see it coming out, and how do you foresee it coming out?
Well, as the hotspots have moved from China to Europe to North America to South America, and now, you know, sadly rampant in the Amazon, and it's been shocking to see, and it's thrown the whole world off balance. I mean, we are all off balance. There's nobody who wakes up in the morning and goes through an entire day calm and centered right now. It's for different reasons. And, you know, sports draws competitive people. Sports draws people that are not only stretching for wins, but also know how to deal with losses and deal with setbacks. And I believe sports has a huge role in society regaining its confidence and society getting centered and balanced again. And I see that responsibility, and I actually get some goosebumps feeling that responsibility, that it's going to be bigger than us just playing hockey in Buffalo. It's bringing the community back together and giving people the confidence to spend time together again and to socialize properly. We are social animals, and we are being restrained and tied up and cooped in right now. And what better vehicle than sports to bring people back together and bring some sense of normality? So I believe that sports will recover, and I believe sports will have an important role in the new, you know, found environments that we're going to walk out into the streets in when all the, you know, restrictions are dropped around the world. And within that, I think we have a responsibility that's bigger than just the games that we all play. It's also to help people that aren't so used to losing, aren't so used to standing up after getting knocked down, aren't so used to having to permanently develop all the time to keep your job and to compete at the highest level, like the Sabres players, as an example. So I look forward to us being an example in the community in Buffalo. I look forward to us leading the charge back to you know, an exciting sharing of experiences again together. You know, this Zoom is working out really well today, but I would way rather be all together with all of you in one room right now. And I look forward to that happening again soon.
And there you have it. Ralph Kruger's press conference, his end of season press conference here. Replaying a little bit of that for you here on WGR. My thanks again to Brian Koziel for joining me to talk some Sabres and some golf as well. My thanks to NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger for also joining me. And, of course, thanks to Greg Force from Spectrum News Sports joining us here as well. And, of course, for Derek Kramer behind the board, I am Brayton Wilson here. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in on this Saturday. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning with Howard and Jeremy, 6 to 10 in the morning here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.